Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And joining us today is Castlemania Ryan, who may become a regular contributor to the show.
So, we are hot on the heels of the Game Awards, which turned out to be a better show than it probably had any right to be.
Pretty much.
Again.
Again, yeah.
There's a pattern forming here. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, we will certainly get into and talk in depth about that in a bit. So first I wanted to do a little house cleaning. Wanted to point you over to smashpad.com, where my 10th anniversary piece regarding Defense Grid The Awakening is up.
Yes.
Been working on this for several months, so that's now up and ready to be read. Hope you enjoy it. Yeah, it was a good, was fun to dig into, research, and talk to Jeff Pops at Hidden Path about the game and get some very candid responses. So, very good stuff there. Apart from that, we have been playing some stuff, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain big game that came out, Friday, so I'm sure some of us have been playing it. I haven't, because I don't have a Switch, so that's the thing I need to get on at some point. But for now, I've been playing Tetris Effect, which is still fantastic. I don't think I've gone a single day without at least playing it for a good, 20, 30 minutes. Because it's just one of those games I like to play before bed, and it just kind of zones me out. So, it's a fun game. And it's Tetris with that's been Mizuguchi'd up. I mean,
what can you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Apart from that, I've been rebuilding my emulator setup since I reformatted my PC this week, getting all that stuff, back together. Currently working on my PlayStation 1 section. Was having some weird issues, actually. With games that had CD audio in particular. If I would load my image file that I made from my copy of Toshinden, for instance, in the emulator, it would just kind of... Well, the match would start, and the audio would loop every 3 seconds.
Ugh.
Don't think that's how that's supposed to work.
Right.
And a huge disservice to that soundtrack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly, once I converted that same image to the PlayStation Classic PBP format, it worked fine.
Problem solved.
Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure what's up with that, if it doesn't like bin queues for some reason, or if there's a bug that was introduced somewhere, but converting it to PBP saved me some space and also made that problem go away. So I think I'll do that for all of my images now, which is, oh god.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Have fun.
So, isn't that what format you're supposed to use on the Classic that came out?
Yeah, it's PvP. It's also the same format that the PSP and the PS Vita use.
Yep.
So, it also turns out to be a very good way of packaging PlayStation 1 games, because it'll support multiple discs in a single file, which is very handy. So that's where I'm going forward from here. So, what about you, Pat?
I would just list this one under What the Fuck Do You Think? I was one of the people who did come away with a copy of Smash, and I've been playing it exclusively ever since. I'm pretty close to unlocking the entire character roster. I'm using the fast way that's going around the internet. It's not 100% reliable, but it's still faster than anything else going around. So... that has kind of that's been my current addiction, and I'm just hoping to have all of the characters before I go back to work on tomorrow.
Yeah. And did you go physical or digital for that?
I went digital because it was like 15 degrees outside and I was tired from work. I just didn't want to go anywhere.
It makes sense.
That's been a recurring theme since I got this apartment, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got it like right before winter, so
Yeah.
Stuff
going. But now my need for an SD card has gone from notable to immediate.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, those aren't particularly pricey nowadays.
Yeah.
You can get like a 400 gig SD card for about $60.
So that's not bad.
Yeah. If the Switch will take that kind of capacity, that's great.
Yeah.
I know it'll take 256, so I can't imagine that it wouldn't take 400.
Yeah, that would be bad if the cutoff was there.
Yeah. So how about you, Brandon?
Well, Other than Bayonetta 2, which, you know, I finished the main campaign for that, so I'm sort of going through the first Bayonetta. I've been playing Mutant Year Zero, Exit Eden, which is a sort of a, it's a post-apocalyptic strategy RPG that is free roaming, and it's heavy on stealth elements. I've had to learn that you really do have to rely on the stealth parts, because you start the game kind of low powered, so a good chunk of the actual battles is you picking off the weaker ones that are often isolated, and then slowly, you know, surrounding the opposition and taking down the more powerful ones afterwards. It's a very harrowing experience because, you know, you're always just one or two shots away from death, and this game has permadeath, so yeah. But it's also really funny at the same time, because it takes place like generations after the human race as we know it has been extinct, so it's basically a post-human apocalyptic future, and they don't recognize modern, you know, our modern technologies. So, like, they'll come across like an old iPod, and they think they call it the fruit tester because it has a an apple on the front of it, and you know, it usually has like a percentage number on it somewhere. So
yeah,
or like they come across a children's playground, and they find one of those plastic preschool Playmobil play sets, like little house with a little plastic slide and everything, and one of them remarks, wow, whoever lived in this must have been really, really small, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's really good. That's pretty much what I've been up to. So, Chris?
Yeah, so I've been playing the two of the big PS Plus games for this month, Onrush, which is still quite good. I was having some weird bugs getting into the matchmaking, where it would just load for like 30 seconds and say match ended, and load into the next game and then match ended. Like, couldn't get into anything. Just real weird stuff like that. Or it would kind of act like it was loading into the next match and then would just stop doing anything. I have to quit out of the game because I couldn't back out of it. But once I did get into games, it worked really well. So yeah, that game is a lot of fun. It's like a multiplayer racing game in the style of like an Overwatch, as far as being like 6-on-6. And yeah, that's a game people should definitely check out if they have not yet. I also played Iconoclast, which is a Metroid style game. The story, I'm still fairly early on learning all the ins and outs, but apparently mechanics have been outlawed. People with wrenches are treated like terrorists, I guess. And your character was the daughter of one of the more notorious, like criminal mechanics. And so these agents show up to your house, having known that after he has passed away earlier, like earlier that day. So they suspect that you are also taking up in fixing people's stuff, before they have to leave on some other mission. And they do go pick up your wrench that you have hidden in the basement. Go over to one of the towns nearby and start working on this stuff.
Yep.
And sort of along the way, you've also got these like points that you can latch onto with the wrench that act as like a point you can like swing on. There are also a bunch of doors that you use that on to ratchet up the door, and builds a lot of puzzles around that sort of stuff, which all work really well. Look forward to putting some more time into that. You also have like a gun that you use to kill enemies, which has a neat thing to it where it auto locks on to enemies that are nearby. So it kind of removes some of the need to focus on that stuff so much. You just have to get near the enemies and your shots will, you know, auto lock on, which works really well. I also played Ashen, which is on Xbox One now and is on Game Pass as well. And that game is basically Dark Souls, indie Dark Souls. Much better than some of the other ones I have played, especially on Game Pass. Yeah, it has a really nice style to it. Kind of looks like Absolver a little bit in the style. The weird thing is the characters had no faces. I think it's just stylistic versus like anything story related. But the story is about, I guess the Ashen is like this bird god that has brought life to the world. In the beginning, it dies and is like about to resurrect, and you're trying to do something related to that. I don't know what it is yet, but I basically just went through the early stuff where they give you like an AI companion that helps you out, I guess, to like get the ropes of the controls and all that. And I basically just got to my first bonfire. But yeah, that seems pretty neat. I'm definitely going to put some more time into that as well. And I've also been playing some more Persona 3 Dancing in Moonlight, I think it is. Yeah. I've finished all of the main songs in that, which I guess can kind of count as like finishing the story. There's more social link stuff to do because a lot of them are based on stats. You know, get this many perfect note hits, get this much cumulative combo between songs. And the one for the Velvet Room attendant, which she is named LP in this, hers are all based around just viewing all the other social links. And so once you get through the main five levels, it opens up three more that are available. And at that point, you essentially, weirdly enough, get to visit the room of that person. And LP hides a card somewhere in the room. So you got to go look at it, look around and try and find it. That's like a little extra thing that's in there. But also you get to sort of explore the rooms of these people and like learn more about them through the way they keep the rooms together, all that sort of stuff. I think I've gone through Mitsuru's room, which is very high class. Yeah, lots of fancy stuff in there, but yeah, there's a lot in there that's pretty good. I just don't think it's as good as Persona 4 or Dan.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna be working on the review tonight and play some more Persona 5 Dancing in Starlight. The thing I do like about that version is that it has the style of the menus and such are in line with Persona 5. So it kind of just looks different than the other two games, which is pretty nice. And also, it's just like red and white and black is kind of the overall color of the menus there, which is quite a bit of difference from the others that are kind of similar between Persona 3 and 4. But yeah, that's been kind of it. How about you, Ryan?
This week has been kind of just a week of dabbling really for me. So I got the PlayStation Classic and I played through a bit of each of the games on there, and I'm trying to decide what I want to do with that thing. The other classic systems I just left stock just because I didn't, you know, I don't need to, and I suppose even here I don't really need to make any changes or other ways to play games, but I don't know, I am considering kind of fixing this system. At least letting the games play in their, you know, proper 60 hertz and things like that. Considering starting a game of Final Fantasy VII on that, you know, I do have it on disc and I have my PS1 hooked up. So I don't know. I might start that. And then I did get Smash, so I've been playing that with my kids. A great thing about that is, and I heard you guys mention there's like a fast way to kind of get all the characters unlocked, and I'd heard that and I was going to look into it, but truth be told, I just go do something else for a few hours and my kids unlock all the characters.
You've already got the fast way. It's called.
Yeah. So that's been cool. My friend Nick had joked about wanting an old man mode where you just say, you know what, we're I don't got time to sit here and unlock stuff anymore. Just activate old man mode and unlock everything for me. I paid you for it. So I got my kids working on that. And what else? Forza Horizon 4. Been dabbling in that too. Yeah. So nothing too. And that's just been kind of the pace. I don't have during this time of the year, I don't have time to really dive into anything too deep. So these quicker experiences are kind of what I've been doing. Soul Calibur 6.
Nice.
That's really good. If you guys like the old Soul Calibur games,
they got it right.
Yeah. Have you played it? I'm really enjoying that too. So
it was the game that I was hooked on before Smash.
Yeah. So these are all great games coming out around this time of the year, and a lot of good games that you can just kind of dip into for 20 minutes. You know, that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. So I imagine you're kind of busy with the holidays and the store. You're probably seeing an uptick.
It's obviously the busiest time of the year. And on top of that, we have some big project shipments going out. So like pre-orders that are coming in that create a large amount of, you know what I mean? Fulfilling a bunch of orders all at once. Yeah, it's been busy, but we're staying on top of things.
All right, so I guess we'll get into the news and we'll see what we end up with. We're going to do a quick follow-up here on the Fallout 76 shit show.
Fallout.
So, we talked about the collector's edition for $200 that came with the crappy nylon bag instead of the what was actually advertised. Bethesda decided that they were gonna replace those for people who signed up for it. I don't know if it was inadvertent, but they actually ended up doxing all of the people that signed up for that. So
from what I've heard, it was either gonna be that or they were gonna give them like 500 atoms and in-game currency or something like that.
If you accept that, you don't get to take part in any class action lawsuits that may occur.
But what ended up happening is that apparently as they were giving the receipts out, they ended up doing less of targeted email and more spray and pray.
Oh, the reply all thing. Oh, yeah. Or the blind carbon copy.
Well.
that is just such a rookie mistake. Oh, come on, guys. At this point, This game is just turning out to be a complete nightmare for Bethesda. It's like it's one of those things I honestly think they wish they hadn't bothered green lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any thoughts on? I'm at a loss for words at just how badly.
Yeah, it's God. Just will Todd Howard ever be able to recover?
I don't think so.
I mean, this may have permanently wrecked his reputation. Well, he may have to step down.
It's really kind of shocking, honestly, that a company that big, I mean, this is just, you just don't do that. And then the way that they respond to it, and handled it is just so terrible. There's been a couple of these where I'm just like, this can't be really happening. Not to switch topics, but the Soulja Boy console. Do you guys hear about that?
Oh, gosh.
It's again on the level of like, what is this a real news story or is, you know what I mean? It's like an Onion thing, you know, the way some of the, like, how do you reply all? And you know what I mean? Like some of the stuff is just,
it's baffling.
You hear, let's say the Sony PlayStation, people are upset about that. It's not terribly surprising, but some of these other things are just like way above, you know, with the ridiculousness of the actual story. So, and I don't know, the canvas bag thing when they, And again, I guess this is one of these things where it's it could be mixing up two things that aren't connected. But they had the influencer bags go out that were candies, and yeah, those were swag that they were part of probably a different merchandising purchase order or whatever. But
not a good look.
It's not a good look. And clearly, the idea was to be consistent with their marketing. So, how did that happen? You know, and I don't know. And I guess I heard that they were saying that they just couldn't get the canvas, so they had to go to it. That's just ridiculous. The whole thing's ridiculous. Every single
gotta
step.
That, you got to have that all lined up ahead of time.
These things. They don't just happen out of the blue. Somebody obviously made a budget decision to save some money and then hope nobody calls them on it. And then when they call them on it, have a series of missteps in handling it. The $5 in in-game currency is just totally ridiculous.
It's insulting, really.
And having to go through CS to get that all verified, it's like they have never worked on an online game before, except they have. Because they have Elder Scrolls Online. Whereas that should have been some sort of template for how to do, you know, an online Fallout game. Except they ignored almost everything they learned from that.
Do you think they run the risk of fast tracking Elder Scrolls 6 to get this behind them faster?
Oh Lord. They do that, it's gonna that may just tank them.
Honestly, as a studio. I don't think there's really much of a danger of that because at this point, I think that Elder Scrolls 6 is probably going to be a next-gen title.
Probably. PS5 and that Xbox and that other game that they're working on, Star Reach or whatever it's called.
Starfield,
yeah.
And the real big thing is next time they do a this is just going to be forgotten about in short order anyway, until they do another special edition, then people are going to bring it up again. So they're going to need to really kind of get ahead of it whenever and when they do that. So
The next special edition that they do really has to go off without a hitch.
Has to.
Yeah.
And then if it does, then this will just be a footnote in history that. It's not going to be a big deal in the end, but especially if they take care of everybody. I mean, I didn't even hear about this doxing thing until you guys brought it up. But what are they going to do for everyone that bought the canvas bags? Are they, because last I heard they were trying to get them new bags.
Yeah, well, that's a part of it. I mean, everybody, they're going to get their bags for sure. But as part of that, they inadvertently got everybody's. Everybody gotcha. On that list got everybody else's personal information.
So. Gotcha. That's so dumb. So they sent in and said, "Yeah, I'll take the replacement bag," and then they reply all and expired. This is just okay.
Not much to further to say there. So we'll just move on to the PlayStation Classic. It came out. It was hacked 2 days later. That didn't.
I'm
take
surprised
very long.
It took. I'm surprised it took that long.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, it's not like a full hack yet. It's still developing.
Yeah.
At the moment, you can run additional games off of a USB stick. So that's a little bit irritating, but it's, proof of concept at the very least. They've also got the ability to map a controller combination, select a triangle to... get into the PCSX menu, which is how you end up switching games. That's, it's progress. Still doesn't fix the emulator that's just shoddy to begin with. But given that they've now got partial file access, I don't think it's going to be too long before they get full file access and are probably able to, actually swap the entire emulator out at some point. So... or maybe just optimize it to the point where it's actually usable to them for the most part.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I saw people trying to spin it as some bad thing, like, oh, it got hacked already. It's like, this is what people have been screaming about for three months. Like, we want to hack this and put more stuff on it. It's like...
Sony released a bad product, and this is what's going to help make it good.
Yeah.
Bad or good, they want to add more stuff onto it. Like, that was the same thing with the NES and Super Nintendo Classics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like... that's half of the appeal for people, is this is a closed thing so they can do whatever.
Yeah, I think the probably the first hack that's going to end up being commonplace is the get rid of Rainbow Six hack. This is probably going to be one of the few original like consoles where you actually want to delete one of the original games because it has no place on the
system. The space is more valuable to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How the hell do I play this game?
Yeah.
Because it's 20 years later and first-person shooters play way differently.
Yeah.
Yep.
So with the space, isn't there like significant amount of space on this specific system? Didn't they identify that you're going to be able to just dump basically whatever you want on these things?
There is
or do we know that yet? Yeah.
It's the flash is 16 gigs.
Yeah.
And it's not full. There's a I think there's probably about 8 gigs free. So, you know, a little bit over half is available. You know, because of the way those ROMs compress with in PvP format, they're actually quite effective. So if you use that format, you're going to be able to get even more on there. People are working on getting that to work, getting the menu to recognize it, because it even though like it can read a PvP file, it seems like the format on the PlayStation Classic is a little bit different as far as getting the menu to actually recognize it. So there's still work being done there, but yeah, I'm kind of interested to hear what you think about it, since I think you're the only one here on the call that actually has one.
I mean, it's all right. I mean, I've dipped into it a little bit right now, and I'm just waiting till all this gets sorted out. And there's, you know, because like you're saying, there's some sort of proof of concept hacks where you can do it in a kind of a clunky way. What I'm hoping for is to see, like the last thing you'd mentioned, maybe using a better emulator or fixing this one, figure out what's going on with that. But as far as the games that are on there, I mean, my thoughts are consistent with kind of what everyone else's seems to be, which is there are some glaring omissions. The classic, see, this is the thing. People keep bringing up a few common points. One, that the Spyro and Crash, you know, they've gotten remasters and re-releases recently. And the other point that gets brought up is that getting the licensing rights to put certain games on, like Tony Hawk, and what about all that music? Well, my thoughts on those two points are this. One, I don't buy into the re-releases and the remasters means they shouldn't have put it on their idea, because these aren't necessarily targeting the same audiences, for one thing. But the other is, and probably the most important, is the classic console. The idea behind a classic console, I think we can all agree, is that the console and the games on it are representative of the console in its time. Like this is what people think about when they think back on the PlayStation 1. And, you know, games like Tomb Raider and Spyro and stuff like that should have been on there. Tony Hawk should have been on there. Those are games that when you think back to the time when you were playing the PlayStation 1, those games were on there. And, you know, Crash was the freaking mascot, you know, famously went to Nintendo's parking lot with a megaphone, you know, talking trash, you know, should have been on there. That is the PlayStation 1. That is classically the PlayStation 1, whether they have re-releases or not. A classic edition should capture that time. And then as far as not getting, you know, games like Tony Hawk, and, you know, people say this stuff about Nintendo too. These are big companies.
Yeah.
You're trying to tell me that Sony can't work that out? That seems a little ridiculous. If they really wanted to do it, they could do it. They're not some small startup company. Sony is a big company. They can get games on their consoles if they want to. Music or not. Now, and even with Tony Hawk, I mean, it would be great if we had the exact same soundtrack that we had on the original one, but if they had to swap out a song or two because of whatever reason, you know, fine. But I don't buy the idea that we couldn't get Tony Hawk on there.
I think you maybe not have noticed there's one company that runs through all three of those games you mentioned, which is Activision.
Yeah.
And they're weirdly not a part of any of these like classic consoles. Yeah. Unless it's specifically like an old like Atari like collection where they might throw their stuff on there.
Yeah.
It's weird. They don't really care too much about their legacy unless they can exploit it with like Call of Duty.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and that's another one, like Medal of Honor and some of those old games that, I mean, would probably play better than Rainbow Six. Yeah. You know, it'd be kind of cool to go back to the roots. And again, those were games that we played Tomba, you know, and there were so many games that should have been on there. So I guess, what do I think about it? For what it is, it seems to be okay. The controller seems all right. It doesn't feel 100%. It's like the plastic's a little different, and you can just feel that. It kind of has that fake plastic feel. And I'm not sure. You know, I'd have to grab one of the other controllers. It does feel a bit smaller, but I haven't heard anyone really commenting on that. It doesn't feel 100% in your hands, but when you get into playing a game, you quickly, it's fine. The games itself's fine. The menu, I actually kind of like the menu with that circle like that. It would be cool if maybe you could change it to a tile grid or something like that, or something else. But that menu to me looks like something we would have had in the 90s, you know, like when the like the original iTunes library had a shuffle sequence kind of like that. Yeah. So to me, that was kind of reminiscent of that. It's odd that there's just zero music playing in the background, so you just have this quiet you know, menu screen that seems a little lazy, but you know, I'm hopeful, and like I say, the NES Classic and SNES Classic, those, I'm leaving those stock. There's no reason to touch them, but the moment we get a good kind of fully fleshed out hack on this, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Just to fix it.
Yeah. And that won't be too long. I mean, and you know, to be honest, it's the kind of thing where I think that these companies, like, deliberately let I don't say that they let people get in there, but they don't make it difficult for people to get in.
I think Nintendo even left a message, right?
They did.
But see, and the thing is too, there's just too many things wrong with it, and the nail in the coffin was the putting the PAL games on. That like, even if you just wanted to leave it and go, you know what, I'm going to enjoy these games for what they were, you can't just put the PAL versions on. At least fix that.
Yeah, you know, that would probably be one of the first things people do, is swap out those for the NTSC versions. And, so yeah, it's gonna be interesting watching it develop and see where it goes. I suspect the PlayStation Classic will probably end up being okay this time next year, but you know, for something that you're getting for somebody to put under the tree, I guess it would be okay. I mean, I don't think they'd be too upset about it.
If they can get another emulator on there somehow.
Yeah. There are many emulators that will run on ARM and run far better than what they chose. So, but you know, the one that comes to mind, EPSXE, which is one of the more accurate ones, it's not open source, so Sony wouldn't have been able to use it, but yeah, there's potential there.
Well, I mean, don't they have their own emulators? I might be being naive here. But I mean, you can play PlayStation 1 games on their, you know, other consoles.
Yeah, that's actually where it's interesting, because the PS Vita and PSP and PS3 for that matter, all of those consoles actually have the variants of the original PS1 hardware in them. So it's not actually playing an emulation when you're playing on it.
Gotcha.
And when it's time to get an emulator, they just buy someone else's.
Yeah.
It's so fantastic.
Yeah. And I can imagine like Randy Linden sitting there in his office going, I could have done this for you guys, you know. Because he made Bleem back in the day, and he now works for Sony. So, somebody
forgot. Tea is delicious.
Yeah. Somebody forgot something there.
Well, I think what it is the company themselves don't realize who their market is all the time. So they come out with a plug and play classic system, and they're thinking this is mass market. And it is, we're going to flood the Targets and the Walmarts and the, you know, a bunch of, you know, casual gamers will pick this up, but they don't realize that there are a lot of us out there, more hardcore gamers that are picking them up, and collectors too. And we're going to pick it apart if it's not right. And you can't get away with that. You know, Nintendo, I guess, and it's like, are they trying to get away with something? I think they were. They were trying to rush something out and do it on the cheap, whereas, you know, that's something you'd expect from, like, more of a third party or, you know, like, not one of the kind of big three. You know, like, if it feels at games like, you know, to do something like that, it doesn't feel like something Sony or Nintendo or Microsoft should do, is put out kind of a half-baked system.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So maybe that's why they don't grab some of these people and put them on the team. They're just thinking they're missing who their market is, or they didn't even know why these things were bad. Like, I don't know. It's just shocking.
On the upside, it's actually easy to get a PlayStation Classic. I'll give Sony that. They actually did make enough of them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're in stock. You can pick them up. So,
I mean, undermining demand might have been a roundabout way of making that happen, but...
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but even then, like, the initial announcement and pre-order stuff, like, it went way better than the Nintendo stuff did. Where it's like, oh, you got, like, 2 seconds at this specific time to get it. If not, you're screwed for months.
It absolutely did. When they announced it, I went on Amazon and ordered it later that night. Yeah. You know, and it had been up all day long. And I don't think it even sold out in the first day.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, you can walk into, I was at Walmart last night and they had 5 or 6 of them in the case.
Yeah. All right, so let's get moving here. SNK announcing KOF 15 for 2020, it's looking like.
Yeah, this was at an investors conference. They're not ready to show anyone yet, but yeah, it's coming. And you know, after as good as 14 was, it had to. But I'm sure we'll be seeing more of it probably around E3 time.
Yeah,
and they certainly set the table for a good storyline going into it. So we'll see what they have in mind. And also, Samurai Showdown was quietly penciled in for the second quarter. So that'll be seeing a release right around E3 time.
Yep.
For the PS4, PC, and most curiously, Xbox One.
Yeah. Well, 14 skipped the Xbox One, so I'm guessing SNK is... either SNK is a little bit more platform agnostic at this point, or Microsoft threw them some cash to say, hey, don't forget us this time.
Yeah. And you could convince me of either.
Yeah. But, genuinely looking forward to Samurai Showdown at the very least.
Yes.
The second game since this SNK resurrection, I guess we would call it.
Yeah.
It's starting to shape up pretty nicely.
Evidently.
If nobody has anything else to say there, we'll move on to Winter of Arcade, which is the thing that is now going on.
Yeah, it's a real weird promotion. So there are 9 games in it, and they're out over a 2-week stretch, starting with a couple days before they announced the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom, Mutant Year Zero, Subnautica, were all out in the 4th. Ashen is part of this, Hell and Neighbor Hide Seek, which are out as of Friday. Yeah. And let's see, Kingdom 2 Crowns is on the 11th, Desert Child on the 12th, Below on the 14th, so that's finally coming out after like 5 years. And Donut County is on the 18th. And so, yeah, it's kind of a shotgun blast of games, not all exclusive to Xbox One, and a bunch of these are real expensive. I think there's at least 4 or 5 here that are $30 or more.
Yeah.
And so they have a promotion.
Xbox Live Arcade pricing.
Yeah. And very much they have a promotion where after your first game, any games after that you buy, you get $5 credit you're going to get back. So up to $40, which you're also going to spend up to like $200 total on these games. So certainly not a cheap thing, but if you have like 2 or 3 games here, especially the cheaper stuff, which I think is Desert Child and Donut County.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are the cheapest here, maybe Below as well. You can make out with like an extra $10 off of that stuff.
Yeah.
Make it a pretty good deal. It's kind of just a weird promotion compared to like what, you know, Summer of Arcade was and what Sony's been doing for the last few years.
Mm.
Yeah, it seems like they're not quite sure what they want to do with the brand at this point. I think they're
Yeah.
just, right now it just seems like to be a promotional thing. It doesn't really seem
Yeah.
to have the same philosophy that it used
Yeah,
to.
arcade doesn't really have any meaning anymore.
Yeah.
And this is at least better than the promotions they've had, where it's just like, I don't know, everything that comes out over this month's stretch is part of this promotion. There's no like bonus or anything. It's just like, hey, check out some games, I guess.
Yeah.
But also, it feels like a promotion that came in at the last moment, where they're like, oh, okay, we got it like Below and Ashen coming out. What else we got coming out here? Let's see if we can, get some more people onto this promotion versus like specifically curating, titles you want to highlight.
Yeah. I will say one thing though, I do like the variety of stuff that they have in there. So,
Yeah.
it's like there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
I was surprised to see that Monster Boy game is $40.
Yeah.
It's like, oof.
Wow. Well, I think there's probably $40 worth of content in there for,
Yeah.
to be
I just
honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in.
Jumping on the Kickstarter for the original version of it, which was not Monster Boy named, but it was like $15. Fifteen or
There
twenty bucks.
were three projects going on at the same time, so that might have been something else.
Yeah.
No, that was the same dev. Essentially, it had I think it was a cat leading it. Was like the lead character. But yeah. Interesting promotion, but might not be the one that people were expecting.
No, I kind of wish they would bring back Xbox Live Arcade as a concept. The idea that you can have a game that you can download, try out, then if you like it, just unlock the rest of it. I don't think that concept has really aged. I think people will really still resonate with that. It does make for a little extra work for the devs to do that kind of thing, but
Yeah, I think indie devs are a lot happier not having to, build their UIs, their main menus a certain way. Like have the thing for DLC even if they were not planning it. Leaderboards, forced leaderboards, like they're now getting to the point where they're not requiring them to put those stats on Xbox One for devs. So they're, further moving away from mandating all this stuff. Extra stuff beyond just like make sure it works. Make sure when you push buttons, it does things. This sort of stuff. Like, yeah, we're getting away from that strict curation thing that just turns off people more than anything.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk a little bit later during the
Yeah, wrecking ball that happened.
game.
So it's Flying Hamster 2 is what I was talking about.
Okay.
That Kickstarter essentially turned into this because they were essentially making a Monster Boy style game. Or the hamster.
Mean, you guys think that the Game Pass is kind of part of this too, though? Because I missed that. From the 360 era too, where you can just try games and then unlock the rest, and I felt like I found a lot of games that way. But nowadays, I do use the Game Pass, and I think that that's it's like sometimes if you have too many options, and this one in particular, if you I started reading the winner of Arcade, and it just felt confusing, and you know what I mean? Like I don't know. Like how many options do you need in one dashboard to try out games?
And having like
Yeah.
one or two titles a week gave you at least like, okay, I can see what these are. I might get one of them.
Yeah.
Versus like, here's like four or five games over the course of a week. You're like, I just bought a bunch of stuff and
Well,
I gotta
and
spend
because
more.
I don't know about you guys, but it's just like the time you would do something like that is in between the games that you already knew you were buying. Like
Yeah.
you bought something, you played it for a bit, you're waiting for something else to come out, you would browse the arcade. Now I just go into like the Game Pass, fool around in there for a bit or dip into the backlog.
Yeah, like four of these games are on Game Pass.
Yeah,
Mutant Year Zero, Ashen, Kingdom Two Crowns, and Below. So it's like, well, I don't
yeah.
have no reason to buy those because they're on Game Pass.
Exactly. And you don't need to go to multiple places. Like you'd have to navigate away from the homepage of the dashboard to go to the store, to go to the winner of arcade. You know what I mean? It's just too clunky.
Yeah, but I do think the Game Pass is probably a big part of this for Microsoft. I think they're pushing that as hard as they can, and it's smart because they have something there that I think is going to be very, very popular. They've been seeing actually a pretty good uptick on Game Pass subscriptions. And, well, you know, the fact that they're doing their own first-party stuff on there is certainly helping.
Yeah, though it's also causing them to change the way they make games as well.
Yeah.
We have, like, Forza Horizon 4 is now an endless game.
Yeah,
so you go back and play, like, the first game or the second game. It's like, there was a definite end to that, you know, and they had expansions to add some more stuff. But now it's like, it just throws icons all over the map for things you can do, and you're like, oh, this is never going to end. This is the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Which is what they want.
Yeah, the term is live services. That's what they're going for. All right, so let's get to the Game Awards. We won't go over the winners. Everybody has seen those. There's write-ups all about those ad nauseum. That's not really what we want to talk about. More importantly, we want to talk about the stuff that stood out for us and the announcements that came out post-TGA. This one, actually, the first one, Super Smash Bros. Content Pack 1, which is a crossover with Persona 5.
Yep.
That actually dropped right before Smash launched.
Hours before.
Ended. Well, no, they ended the show with that announcement. Pretty close to the
end. Yeah.
But yeah, Joker is going to be playable. Yep.
Not that Joker.
No.
The other Joker.
Persona 5, Ren Amamiya.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I did not expect this. Like,
we never saw it coming.
Huh.
Oh, come on. You opened yourself way open for that one.
Yep.
At any rate, if this is an indication of the kind of content we're going to be getting for the season pass, then I'm excited for the other four because, yeah, they're going very much off the radar with this. Ren has not shown up in a Nintendo game yet. A lot of people were thinking that this is leading to a Persona 5 Switch announcement, but don't forget that he is in Persona Q2, which is in the pipeline. I don't remember if they've got a release date on that yet, but...
I don't think they've announced that yet for the West.
Okay. But, so he is technically a Nintendo character, and it will be interesting to see how far they decide to stretch that moving forward. Reggie did say that he wants this to be looked at as kind of an indication of the kind of season pass they're trying to put together. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I can see, Persona Q2 just released at the end of November. So if it's coming over to the West, it probably won't be till like next summer.
Yeah. That sounds fair.
Yeah, and I would, given that Microsoft and Nintendo are on such good terms, I wouldn't be too surprised to see, one of the Battletoads or Master Chief or some other Microsoft
Banjo.
Characters. Banjo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
there's your more likely one.
Banjo and Zitz. That'd be an interesting combination.
When Rash had his turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see who else.
And that goes back to the whole point of what Smash is at the core. It is so much bigger than Nintendo now.
Yep.
Like, it is just a headlong celebration of the ongoing masterpiece that is gaming. And so even if they do pull out the stops and get Master Chief in there, that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
And fitting.
Yeah, I've actually heard a lot of people poo-pooing that idea, but it's like, yeah, it makes total sense if you really ask me. So.
It is so much bigger than Nintendo now. I don't see how it could be anything but natural.
I mean, Smash is so big that it brought that is solely because of Smash that a franchise that was pretty much solely Japanese based managed to become an international sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Fire Emblem, because you know, pretty much no one knew about Fire Emblem until, you know, Marth showed up in Melee. So,
and then they put comment on it. To comment on the all-encompassing nature of the series, it broke the internet when Sonic was announced for Smash.
Yeah.
Now he's an expected member of the roster every game.
Yep.
Without fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Nintendo's cultivated that relationship with the Olympic Games and all that sort of stuff, too.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on this, Ryan, since you're currently
playing? Ryan? Did we lose him?
No, sorry, I had myself on mute. Didn't realize it. no, I think I think you guys are right on. I mean, I agree with you. I don't know where Microsoft's going with all these studios they're buying, but I know some of the new game announcements are from studios that they've picked up are going to come out on PlayStation still. So that's kind of interesting. You know, and then like you guys are saying, we've seen some crossplay with Nintendo. So it seems Microsoft and Nintendo are perfectly fine, you know, getting along together. So yeah, the more the merrier. If we can see Master Chief in there, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can just imagine people pissing other players off with them with plasma grenades.
Yeah.
That would have to be a mechanic.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I would actually wouldn't be surprised if Minecraft Steve is part of that.
Yeah.
So that would be the game that is a big, huge success on Nintendo.
Yeah.
And it is ubiquitous.
Yeah. Which would then probably lead to somebody from Fortnite getting in there.
Yeah.
That's the other cultural icon that comes from outside.
And then the whole thing went tits up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Fortnite is just such a mishmash of just random junk right
yeah.
now. It's, yeah. And like, I can't even hate on it because I just watch it and it's so ridiculous that it's just incredibly entertaining.
I mean, they just stream points. Really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be down with a Fortnite character coming in there like you guys are saying, it's a celebration at this point of all things gaming. I mean, that would be amazing to a lot of people if that happened, right? Not us probably, but that would
move the needle.
Yeah. So, I mean, why not? I mean, at this point, how many characters are in? Do you guys know off the top of your head how many?
It's like 70 right now.
Yeah. So at this point, why not? You know.
Yeah, they're going to have to start putting out magnifying glass editions so you can see the whole roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we also saw the announcement of Crash Team Racing Nitro Refueled, which I'm actually kind of excited for because I really
did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the nice follow-up to the trilogy.
Yeah.
So, hey, here's the other
thing. It's pretty predictable. We knew with the success of... with the redone trilogy, we were going to get this eventually because, I mean, after the Crash trilogy, this is like the other major hit game, right?
Yeah, yeah. Before you work on just a new game.
Mm-hmm.
Is Toys for Bob doing this?
No, this is Beenox, who did the original trilogy.
Okay.
And I believe it also has some stuff from the other racing games that the Crash Racing games.
Yeah, Nitro Cards.
Yeah, I don't know how many there were. I want to say there might have been three.
It was Crash Team Racing and Nitro Kart.
Yeah, so they are sort of adding some other stages from the other games and characters, I think, as well. But yeah, they're going to have like all the original stuff in there and I believe online play. And it's going to be on pretty much all the consoles. PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and it's coming out in June 21st, which is going to be somewhat of a problem for Sega. Their Sonic Racing game is probably coming out somewhere around there.
Yeah.
I think it's the same month.
Yeah. So yeah, now go from there only being the one kart racer to now there's two more you can get in around the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we had The Crew and Onrush coming out in June last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just as an example, I was really looking forward to the Sonic one, but now I'm probably, you know, if I had to choose, I'm going to go with Crash, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hype diminished for the Sonic one when they dialed back the overall concept compared to Transformed. Transformed was basically a Smash level crossover among all Sega properties. And it feels like they're reeling that in considerably to just sort of cram it into the Sonic franchise again. And that disappoints me so profoundly that I can't even really describe it.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to pick between the two, I would probably end up going with Crash as well, because the Crash Team Racing is kind of a known quantity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to expect. Whereas with the Sonic one, I'm like, well...
Just get transformed. You know?
Yeah, I already have Transformed on the PC, so it's like, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was that. Then Reggie threw some money around and secured Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 for Switch.
Mm-hmm.
That was a pretty big announcement.
Oh, yeah.
And the developer is pretty interesting, too, which is Team Ninja.
Yeah.
Yep. They're the guys you bring in when you got a project you need done. Because they took over Neo. Now they're doing Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3.
They did. They're still doing Dissidia.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And of course, they're working on, they're just finishing up Dead or Alive 6. So.
Yeah. Is Team Ninja becoming the new Platinum Games?
They might be. I'm completely okay with that.
Except this is like the first licensed game, and it's not specifically like a cash-in as much. The weird thing is that this is coming out on a platform where they did not release the first two games, and those remasters.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, where is that audience at?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, where... Hopefully that audience is also have a Switch. Because I know people are obsessed about those games when they came to PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure the announcement is forthcoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to port those two games over to their
line. It's another platform they can sell it on.
Yeah. And they will sell.
Yep.
Now what do we got to see here? Hades, new one from Supergiant.
Yeah.
Yep. And it looks amazing.
Yeah. Just take my money. And if you actually want to give them their money, your money right now, you can do so on the Epic Game Store. And that's something you're going to be seeing quite a bit of today.
Yeah. It's $20 right now. It's like a roguelike dungeon crawler.
Yep.
With a lot of the gameplay ideas that I think they had in Transistor and Bastion.
Yeah.
With a really nice style, too, as you would expect.
Yeah, it's very Guilty Gear, intentional, absolutely, after a brief conversation with Greg. This is going to be a contender for one of the more stylish games of 2019.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if I thought my computer would run it well, I would be all over it right now, but I'm probably stuck waiting for a console version.
Or your PC upgrade, probably. Yeah. In the summer.
Their minimum requirements don't seem that big. It says Windows 7 for OS, dual core 3.0 gigahertz, 4 gigs RAM, 1 gig VRAM, 10 gigs space. Not too bad. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah. Did you check this out, Ryan? Because this actually looks pretty damn amazing.
No, I missed this one, so I'm actually looking at it while you guys are talking about it.
So it's like when I saw that trailer, I was like, "Oh, okay." So that's what they've been working on. I noticed they didn't mention Pyre, which is it's kind of unfortunate because I think I really enjoyed Pyre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was one of those games that was really difficult to explain to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. And I think if you're talking about gameplay mechanics or gameplay style, comparing it to Bastion is a much more natural step.
Yeah. As far as making that a lot easier, Pyre doesn't have to be mentioned as far as what to expect from this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because Pyre just kind of throws expectations, all over the place. That game was all over the place. It's like a combination of visual novel / NBA Jam where you throw yourself into a burning pyre.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. Nope, that's it.
Yep. Nope, I didn't just have a seizure. That's exactly what it is. So, yeah, it's looking good. I'm going to be buying it. Not on PC, though, oddly. I am actually going to wait for the console version to come out.
Yeah, I assume once they're done with early access, it'll be out on console.
Yeah, no doubt. And it'll probably end up on everything Supergiant Games are wont to do at this point.
Yep.
Except for Pyre. That didn't end up on the Switch. But where did it?
I don't think so.
No. But Transistor and Bastion did. So.
Yeah. They got time. Switch is still doing okay.
All right. So during the show, Ed Boon shows up, and he's going to be presenting the winner for the best sports and racing game, and just sort of nonchalantly drops the trailer for Mortal Kombat 11.
It was one of those swerve things they've been doing during this whole thing. It's like, they do something, and then smash cut to this lightning.
Yeah.
And it was so... It was such a sneaky way of going about it that it took me a minute to really wait, what?
Yep.
Like, yeah, me too.
I was just sitting there thinking I was gonna be seeing the sports game nominees, and it took me about 10 seconds to be consciously aware that they changed lanes.
They changed lanes. I love the callbacks to Mortal Kombat 2.
Yep.
Yep.
And one.
But
and the sort of obvious parallels they did with the preview trailer they did for Mortal Kombat 10. So
it's looking great. We got some more info on it, but nothing too concrete yet. January 17th, we're going to get the community reveal, so we're going to get a little bit more, probably some gameplay, but we'll see there.
I expect that we're going to get gameplay because we're going to be a hair over 3 months out from launch at that point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, and knowing NetherRealm, they're going to do a nice long live stream and get down and dirty with it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime in March, there will be the beta test for pre-orders. Game will be launching globally April 23rd. And, of course, because it's being published by Warner Brothers, they actually have to section away one of the characters as pre-order DLC, and that one this time around is Shao Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't the story thing that's Dark Raiden? He's gone evil this time?
Yeah, well, if you've honestly, if you played and finished the campaign for Mortal Kombat 10, you have an idea why.
In the rebooted timeline, we're on Deadly Alliance and Deception now, so that's about where we're at.
Yeah, apologies for not knowing the story. So those weird games.
It's okay.
I think that was the point. Where it was like, oh, there's this vault full of bunch of shit. I just did that. Yeah. It's like, what story?
Well, 9 and 10 were basically collectively a giant reboot.
Yeah.
And that's about where we are on the new timeline now, and that seems to be a central theme because at the end of the trailer we saw a new character standing beside who I'm presuming is an elder god, standing beside what looks like a giant hourglass. So I figure time travel is going to be a major theme in the story this time
around. Well, not just time travel, but also probably universe travel as well, because we saw both versions of Scorpion. We saw the one in this rebooted timeline where he is still alive and well, and the one in the original timeline where he is very much dead.
Is this going to be the Smash Brothers Ultimate of Mortal Kombat? Just here's all the characters.
Okay.
All the timelines. That actually probably would have been a Mortal Kombat. What was it? Apocalypse?
Armageddon. And they've never even so much as revisited the concept, and we understand why.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, that's basically how Mortal Kombat 9 starts. It literally starts at the very end of
Armageddon with
So
you an MK fan?
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know anything about the timelines, just to be honest. I played the original games, and then I got the 10 XL, and I played it a bit, but I didn't play through the story or anything, so I'm probably all mixed up, but I'm looking forward to it nonetheless.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's weird because the story content in Mortal Kombat is such that if you care about it, you can get into it, but if you don't, there's still a huge amount of meat for you to dive into.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't have to bother with the story. If you don't care about the lore or anything, you just want to beat people up, you can totally do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I played through that around the same time I played through what's the DC one?
Injustice.
Injustice. Yeah, I played through the original Injustice and Mortal Kombat 10 around the same time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, for me, it's just fun. Now Injustice, I got hooked in, and I think I played everything about that game. Didn't get is into the sequel. But yeah, I dipped my toe into 10XL, and this one, I mean, sounds exciting. So it's definitely something I'll be picking up.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what they do for the story and, like, single-player content. If they're just going to do the next part of the story and more Challenge Tower stuff, or they're going to find some new things to do.
Hard to say. I mean, I think the Challenge Tower mechanic actually worked out pretty well for them, so yeah. I would be surprised if that didn't.
They're just going to take what they did in Injustice 2 with the loot stuff and put that in the Mortal Kombat?
It is Warner Brothers, yeah. So I actually wouldn't be too surprised if that does make. It should be very irritating and disappointing. Hold off on it until an inevitable Game of the Year edition comes out.
Yeah. Or maybe it'll bug out like it did for, I think, Jeff Gerstmann, where he just kept getting crates constantly and it's like somehow was getting way more than he should have.
Yeah.
That is the, now that you mention it, though, that is the thing that's in the back of my mind with games like that. You know, is this Game of the Year? You know, like I said, I had the XL version of the last one. You know, I mean, what do you guys think about that? Just with these games coming out that you know there's going to be a more complete version later, you know?
I think it just depends on your reasons for playing.
Yeah. If you're just really looking forward to the game, just do it. If not,
yeah, or if you're a competitive player, you just do it.
Yeah. I'm stuck.
Yeah. Cause you might save some money, but you don't want that period of several months that you're going to be behind the curve as far as developing as a player.
Yeah.
If you just want to sit down and enjoy where they're going with the story, then you can probably wait.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah.
Okay, so that we saw, let's see, Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe is coming to PC and consoles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, Stanley Parable with more stuff.
Yeah, that's a game I really liked a lot, especially as like a self-inflection of what a developer does. Especially one that works on a game kind of mostly by themselves. Mm. It's like all the thoughts and design ideas and just going back and forth and playing around with the fourth wall as far as this. And it would really be cool to see that on consoles as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if we're going to have to wait 5 years to unlock another achievement, though. Because that was a thing in the original Stanley Parable.
Yeah. I assume that would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Just keep that going.
Yeah.
I think I'm coming up definitely. Close to where I can go do that pretty soon on my PC version.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this one. It was one of those games I didn't actually get around to playing on the PC, so once this comes out, dive right into it. I know I'm going to enjoy it. It wasn't a hugely long game, but it had a lot of variety to it because you could do it in so many ways.
I love games the you just not keep so... playing over and over again.
Yeah.
I love the not so subtle call out of indie purists.
Mm-hmm.
That was that just made me feel happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a great trailer. So very well worth watching. Another game we saw a little bit more of was Ancestors: The Human Odyssey. That one's Petrus Desilets, new joint.
Yeah, the original creator of yep. And you look at it, it basically looks like a game where you're basically playing through basically the entire evolution of humanity. Basically, that seems to be how it looks.
And that's what the story beats on the Steam page. It says, survive your evolution in Neogene Africa starting 10 million years ago. It's a third-person open-world survival game where you explore, expand, and evolve to advance your clan to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
An exciting new adventure from the creator of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. You see it and you watch the trailer and it shows them, you know, first off just starting off like regular bipedal monkeys and then, you know, they get leaner and taller, and then eventually they learn how to use tools, you know.
So the anti-Southern Republican game here. Here's evolution.
Yeah.
Yep.
We need our divine evolution theory game here. Where God comes in and just puts about, things. Well, that's just
that would take just, all about 5 seconds.
That's just like The Sims. Here's people, here's the house. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'll say one thing about Petrus Desilets. He doesn't think small.
No.
Nope.
Yeah, and which gets him into trouble because he gets these games on, like the last one was signed by THQ, then sold to Ubisoft. It was like, oh, he's back with Ubisoft again. And then he leaves because he's like, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
And then he goes and makes this one. So maybe he'll stay separate this time around.
You were going to say something, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I think it's going to be a well-done game, it looks like. People are probably going to sink some time into it. For me, it wasn't one that was catching my attention as something I'm realistically going to jump into, but I think it's just the style of game, but it does look good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were mentioning a little bit earlier to me that Far Cry New Dawn is one that actually is very interesting to you.
Yeah. Yeah, Far Cry, I mean, that's a series that I've just been really into since, I got in on Primal, and I went back and played 4, and then just played 5, obviously, this year. So jumping back into, into the same map, but in a totally different situation, I don't know, I'm ready. So I'm glad, I'm kind of surprised. Well, I guess, you know, they already had the map and everything, but
yeah,
this is kind of, I guess, the Far Cry Primal of 5, you know, things that they're kind of reusing the map and kind of dropping you in. And I don't know. I think 5 was well done, and I'm just looking forward to this one. This is one I'll be, setting aside some time on day one for sure.
Yeah. Well, day one will be February 15th of next year. So
coming up fast.
That week is actually starting to get pretty crowded.
February is starting to be a thing now.
Yeah. Well, it used to be the 21st that was the big day to not launch a game on, because everything was launching then, but now the 15th.
Yeah, because Crackdown moved up a week, and I was like, here's Crackdown 3, Dead or Alive 6, Far Cry New Dawn, and Jump Force.
Yeah. So it's like February is the month where you have no money.
Yeah. January and February are all full right now.
So, yeah, good stuff there. I mean, I haven't been playing a Far Cry game in a long time. Maybe I should consider jumping in at some point again. But yeah, the problem I have with any of these Far Cry games, particularly, it's just the Ubisoft formulaic approach at this point.
Yeah. I mean, Far Cry 5 wasn't perfect, I don't think. Like, one of the problems I had with Far Cry 5 was they had too many, optional side quests that aren't actually optional. And what I mean is if you wanted to just play through the story and just take out all of the, compounds and stuff like that, you can't actually do that. You will take out all the compounds and do all that stuff, but not have enough completed in a map area to actually call out the one of the brothers or sisters or whatever. You have to actually do a fair amount of the random side stuff just to cause the game to progress. And so it does feel like that. Like, there's just kind of a lot of this, like, I don't know. It would be nice if you could just play through it a little more linearly, or if you wanted to really explore the map, do some of the optional stuff. But it did string the game out, I think, a little longer than it needed to be. I don't know if you guys played through it or know what I'm talking about, but that you did reach a point where you're kind of done with an area, and then it's like, oh, I've got to go find lighters, for a few hours or something, just to cause the game to progress. And that was more so in this specific release than it had been previous. Like, you could play through Primal without doing all this random side stuff, for example. You could just kind of play through it. This one, you had to do a whole lot of just extra running around.
It's going to be interesting to see, because, I mean, this is a Far Cry where you play in a blown-up Montana.
Yeah.
I know some people who actually would like to blow up Montana, so this may be good fantasy fulfillment. So what do we have next up? From Obsidian, 2019, a single-player RPG called The Outer Wilds. I have to give this one as probably the trailer of the night for me.
Really,
really enjoyed this one.
Basically, it's Firefly with a little bit of,
Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, a little bit of Fallout New Vegas, a little bit of, some other stuff like that. It's a lot, looks like a lot of fun. It's just very funny.
Yeah.
And then, as we kind of mentioned earlier, this is an Obsidian game, but it is not Xbox exclusive.
Nope. Yeah, this one's published by Private Division. It's the same one that's publishing Ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is a 2K. Are they a 2K division?
They're well funded. I'll give them that. And,
I've never heard of them before.
Yeah, because so. They got Kerbal Space Program is also one of their games. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, that was 2K.
That's 2K. Yeah, maybe. So it's like Ultra Games all over again.
Yeah. Or like Sierra at Activision, yeah. Which they made like two or three games and then they never used it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What else have we seen? It looks pretty good. Yeah, keep an eye on that. From Giant Squid, we saw The Pathless
mm-hmm.
the PS4 and the Epic Store.
Yeah, this is the new game from the people that made Abzu.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. it's a little bit more violent than Abzu was.
Just a bit.
Just a teensy bit of the death.
Yeah. And that looks really cool. Like a nice game with an eagle buddy, which was something we haven't really seen a ton of since like maybe the Mark of the Cry, Mark of Kree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is a nice thing to see. Yeah, it just looks real nice.
Yeah. It does. Much else to say about that one.
It's yeah, just watch really the trailer if you haven't.
Yeah. So, Stranger Things. If you watch that on Netflix, you probably like it. Season 3 is going to be coming out. So is a game.
Yep.
It's a. They've gone 16-bit now. So, yeah, watch out.
Yep. And this looks pretty neat as a weird spin-off, because we knew Telltale was going to be working on a game for them, which made a lot of sense, but then the whole
everything
shutdown
happened.
Thing happened. Mm-hmm. And so they found Bonus XP is a developer. I'm trying to look up what they've made before. But yeah, it's looks like a nice little brawler adventure game kind of thing.
Yep.
That is pretty cool. Let's see, they made a bunch of small stuff, from what I can tell. Oh, they made the mobile Stranger Things game.
Yeah.
If you've seen that.
And that was actually good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got some other stuff here. Monster Crew, a lot of mobile stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So they're moving up to console.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if you had a chance to look at this, Ryan, but it just looks kind of delightful. If you've heard, give it a look.
I mean, Stranger Things. This is a game. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm interested in it.
Yeah.
You know, I hadn't seen too much on it, but it'd be interesting to see how they kind of bridge things over into carrying the story out. You know, onto
And this at least takes place in the mall they highlighted in that teaser trailer for season 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have they shown trailers for the Netflix Fallout, or is that what you're?
It was just about? It was just like a teaser trailer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That was just kind of showing the mall. It's like, hey, here's like where the next season's going to be focusing on.
Cool.
It's this mall's like the summer after what happened in season 2.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, we're fixing to get to the other games that stood out.
Yep.
Yeah, I was fixing to say the one that really stood out to me was they gave a new trailer for Anthem, and I'm definitely liking what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
But I still have that bit of apprehension underneath the surface, because this is EA we're talking about.
Yeah, this is EA we're talking about, and apparently the big bad is Thanos. So that was a thing that happened.
We're joking.
Where they got that inspiration?
We're joking. It's not actually Thanos, but
no, but a very very similar motif.
Yeah,
But
when did they move the date for Anthem out?
Nope.
Yeah, it's February.
Yeah, I thought it was February. Okay.
Yep, the week after Far Cry.
Yeah. Okay.
Which to me, like between that and Mortal Kombat, really has me convinced that we're not going to see ninth generation until fall 2020.
Probably.
Because those two games were kind of looked at as, well, nope, there's no, really no commitment to that release date. I think we're going to see those slide to next gen. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen, so.
No.
And, well,
they're coming out. So.
And
there's kind of a nice, period where you can experience both, though.
Yeah.
Like GTA 5 did. You know, they sold so well on 360 and then immediately, PS3, and immediately just doubled down on PS4 and Xbox One.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see the same thing.
Yeah, something like that. And unless we start seeing a lot of big first-party games come out, I don't know. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and if the architecture stuff stays similar enough that they kind of just make the transition more smoothly, it seems like it would be a lot easier to not have to have this big reset like we've had in the last few generations where it's like, hey, here we're made this like basic Madden version that looks a little bit better.
Well, and we know from Microsoft what their intentions are. They're always going to be backwards compatible and all this kind of thing. So it would be it'd be a missed opportunity for Sony to just give just don't give them ammunition. Just make your stuff backwards compatible. Mm-hmm. Would make these transitions easier, and then also gives them a marketing piece.
And really understand the value of their own back catalog.
Yeah. I was going to say, also, you know, this is Anthem we're talking about. It was also talking about BioWare. BioWare also dropped a teaser for what's going to be the next Dragon Age as well.
Yeah.
Short and sweet, but basically it shows that BioWare. And
there was no EA logo to be found.
No. Which shows that.
Was puzzling.
Yeah. Seems to show BioWare still has a little life left in it.
Yeah.
And,
but it's also kind of light enough. It's like, yeah, this is nowhere close to coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's years down the line before coming out. But, it proves to me that, you know, because I genuinely love BioWare. They're, one of my favorite studios. I mean, I played, Mass Effect Andromeda. And, you know, in spite of its many flaws after all the updates, it was a great, I thought it was a really great game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and seeing, you know, everybody was sort of poo-pooing Anthem when the idea first came out. I'm glad to see that they're actually going to do dealing with it. And, you know, I am cautiously optimistic. Yeah. You know, I'm glad that they're, I'm legitimately excited.
Yeah.
I'm crossing my fingers. I'm like, EA, don't screw this up. Because we know what you tried to pull for Star Wars Battlefront, and if you try to do the same thing here, there will be heads on sticks.
Yeah. I'm just kind of waiting to the point where I can, you know, they put out a beta or whatever so I can actually try it.
That's coming.
Yeah, it's a coming.
Yeah.
Be patient.
Yeah. So stuff that stood out to me, was, Journey to the Savage Planet. I just loved the look of that, and the studio is based in Montreal, so, you know, I'm kind of biased a little bit there.
It's like a third of the industry, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like everybody in Montreal at this point. looked cool, sci-fi, it's got a kind of a dark sense of humor to it. You get dropped on this planet and it's like, yeah, figure it out. So we're not quite sure what kind of game it is. They said it was kind of an adventure style game. It wasn't a survival game, so yeah, it's got potential there. Stylish as hell, I'll give it that.
And I think the guy that's leading this studio worked on Far Cry 4 on Assassin's Creed, so
yeah. Yeah, so
probably taking some cues from that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one other game that stood
I think for me it was The Last Campfire, which is the new game from Hello Games, which they describe as a short. And the interesting thing is the art style sound looks like I think a game called The Windlands, which is for a reason because they have the two guys that made that are on the Hello Games team, so they let them make this little game. And it looks really cool.
Yeah. All right. So anybody else want to chime in here before we move on to the last bit about the Game Awards?
Well, I was going to say there is one last big thing about that came out during the Game Awards, and it's probably going to be a game changer, what you're about to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I should read the doc that's in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Epic Game Store. We have heard a lot about this. During the Game Awards, and there were a lot of Epic Games logos during that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fortnite the money all over the place.
Yeah. Well, Hades is on there, Ashen is on there, there's a bunch of stuff that's coming on there. What's interesting is I'm seeing a lot of these indie studios and publishers kind of moving there. It's got the curation for one thing. They said they're gonna trickle games out. They're getting a better revenue split than Steam is giving them.
Yep, 88 yeah, to 12.
Mm. Yeah. So, I think this is something that's kind of cyclical in the industry. After a while, a company gets too big, starts getting a little bit too
comfortable,
hubristic. And I think Valve has kind of reached that point.
Look at this giant turd mountain of a platform.
Steam, like the front page is basically a dumpster fire at this point. Very difficult to find anything amongst all of the achievement spam and asset flips and just plain very shady developers in general. So I think the industry, at least a certain section of it, is waiting for a store like this.
I mean, if anything else, it'll finally give Valve some competition and maybe force them to finally go back and actually start making games again.
Probably not.
They'll
probably
that would be a best case scenario.
It's a launcher that a ton of people have because that's where Fortnite is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The other interesting thing I saw that they're doing is they're going to be giving a couple games away for free. Subnautica is going free from the 14th to the 27th, and Super Meat Boy is from the 28th to the 10th of January.
Yeah.
They say they're going to be doing it every 2 weeks. That's going to be cool to see. There's definitely some issues with the store right now, mainly because it just launched. Things like there's no like sorting or anything for these games, at least on the storefront, where it's just like, here's a bunch of logos of these games. I think it's also just because they don't have much on there yet. There's no way to sort the library as well, which is also not great. I think all I have on there is like Fortnite, Unreal, and Shadow Complex from when they gave that away for free. And they got a couple things here in this article, just like issues that are there right now. There's no like guidelines for screenshots. So some of the games have, you know, lots of art or like stylized screenshots. Stuff like that, where it's not exactly representative of the game that you're being sold. But I guess they also opt you into a mailing list automatically when you buy a game. Yeah. So like the Hades, you get opted into the Super Giants newsletter for that. You have to click on a button, a check mark, to opt out of that ahead of time. They say clicking on a game banner in your library takes you to its store page, not the game.
Yeah,
I can confirm that. The downloader, while looking nice, doesn't tell you how long it's going to take. Which would be nice, but also there's just not much to download right now. So like a lot of that stuff is, I've seen people that are in other regions, the regional pricing is not great, especially if you're outside of like the 10 or so that they specifically cover. And it's even more compared to the way it is on Steam. For those regions. So yeah, like a lot of things that people should definitely be critical of them so that they, you know, prioritize that stuff and get it worked on. While there's a lot of people that are mad because they're essentially in a console war now on PC.
Well, we got an app war going
on.
It's
like
basically which store am I going to install?
People are like, oh no, I got to have another. It's like, if you've bought any games, you probably have the EA one, you have the Ubisoft, there's GOG, there's Itch.io, there's Battle.net. You've already got this. This is what an open platform gets you, is the choices. There's no super browser that covers all of them.
Mm-hmm.
There might be one that's like open source.
That might be something for somebody to write. Who knows?
That make that stuff easier to get to. But yeah, like the amount of games that they have on here. Subnautica, Darksiders 3, Satisfactory, Rebel Galaxy Outlaw. It's going to be exclusive to that for a while. Outer Wilds, which I know Microsoft gave away from one of their mixer things for Xbox One. Journey is on here that's coming to this. Super Meat Boy Forever. I think it's exclusive for 12 months, I saw. There's Maneater, World War Z, Genesis Alpha 1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some good titles there, but also, like, people are, like, mad about exclusives, and it's like, that's been going on for a while on PC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, what was it, Thronebreaker, the Witcher game?
Yeah,
that was supposed to be exclusive to GOG, and then it didn't do well, and they're like, okay, we'll put it on Steam.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's going to happen. That's what competition gets you.
Yeah.
That's why Bethesda's rotting in hell with Fallout 76. It's only on their platform.
And the PC is an open platform, so it's not like, you know, getting into the Epic Store costs you having to buy up more hardware. It's just that you download it and you're there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I do wonder, Ryan, if you've got, like, app fatigue at this point with your PC downloaders.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't use a lot of these. You know, I don't really play a lot on Steam or any of these platforms, so... Yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion on this one. I mean, I'm console gamer, basically. I do have, I do have GOG. I got that to get the Quest for Glory games. But no, I'm not a PC gamer, really, at all.
All right, so let's move on. The KFG showcase did have some pretty interesting stuff. We'll get through pretty quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Super Meat Boy Forever, we were just talking about that.
Yep.
It's coming out in April. PS4, Switch, Xbox One, and the Epic Store.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed a trailer for that, and that looks like it's a really cool game.
They have managed to get a lot of mileage out of that IP, haven't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're basically the weird thing is just the sequel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've done a lot with that little blob of hamburger.
Yep. Then we got Judgment, which was formerly known as Project Judge. It's the new game from the Yakuza studio.
Yep.
That's out on Winter, dual audio in the West, PS4 only, and it looks really good.
Yep.
It's very much, hey, what if you made a Yakuza game, but you're like a lawyer that is investigating these crimes, who also gets in trouble with the Yakuza.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tie-in.
Yeah.
Yep.
You'll probably see some recurring characters between the two.
Yeah.
Also, sort of a point of showing you the sort of... Because they've kind of spent several games sort of glorifying the Yakuza. They're now sort of turning it around and showing you the other side of that particular conflict.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the other big announcement was that the continuation of The Walking Dead, the final season, will begin on the 15th of January with episode 3's release.
Yep.
As Skybound has gotten that under control with a decent chunk of the original team finishing it up. And that's good to know that stuff is finally ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they can wrap that up in a good way for the people that want that. They also made sure to mention that the other seasons are still out on the various platforms.
Yeah. There were some other games that they showed off that were definitely caught my interest. One of them was a postmodern RPG.
I don't know. Y2K.
It's probably Y2K.
It's about the 90s.
Place in the mid 90s. Yeah.
And
wow, does that game look just
Yep. It's like an adult Earthbound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the term I've heard people use.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like how Mission Hill was the teenager and like 20 something Simpsons versus Simpsons just old people and kids.
Yeah. Yep. Operencia, the Stolen Sun, which looked pretty neat.
Yeah, it's the new Zen Studios game, which is like a dungeon crawler.
Mm-hmm. Probably the one that really caught my eye was Long Gone Days, which was the military RPG. And I was like, it looks like some sort of like post-apocalyptic thing.
Yeah, like anime.
Mm-hmm.
Anime one.
I was like, yep, I am totally down for this. Yeah, there's a bunch of genuinely nice stuff in here. Yep. I'm excited to see.
Yeah, there's definitely some nice stuff. I think the things that stood out for me is I want to say the Abeout. Mm-hmm. Abeout, which is from Devolver Digital. It's kind of Hotline Miami, but you're this gorilla that's just beating the shit out of scientists and soldiers that are trying to stop you. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there throwing them around the room, throwing them at the other enemies and such, and it looks like a really fun action game. It gets really chaotic. Mm-hmm. A Fold Apart is another one that looked really nice, which is kind of an adventure game where you're kind of folding the stages together to get over gaps and such. What else was there? Like Moving Out also looked pretty cool. That's the studio that made Death Squared. It's making this Moving Out game, which is kind of a game about moving items around. And so you're like moving out, and so you got to take your couch out of the house and travel, I guess, long distances because you didn't even rent a truck or something like that. And I think it's
Jesus Christ.
You can co-op it, or I think you can probably control both people with one controller. And so it's kind of got a little bit of like irritating stick roundabout kind of thing in there as well, where you're trying to dodge these obstacles, even if it's like crossing the highway, because there's a bunch of cars going around, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That looks like nice.
Having actually done this myself, this game traumatizes me, so no.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
Yeah. And I think the other one that really stood out, I already knew about this game beforehand, but it's called Falcon Age. It's a PSVR game. And yeah, you're kind of doing this crafting, building, hunting kind of thing, but you also have a Falcon buddy with you. And the cool thing is they have the whole thing, like if you have ever had a bird on your arm and you like move your arm around, their head tries to stay still as possible. So it has that like weird look of like you're stretching their body out or whatever. And they emulate that in here as you're sort of holding them up in one hand and you can sort of move them around a bit. But also you can do the fist bump with them to as they head at the end of the trailer.
Yeah, I definitely need to get myself a piece. There's a lot of good stuff coming out for PSVR.
Yeah.
All right, so anybody want to add something before we wrap up to the last bit?
Not really. Just looks like next year is going to be a great year for gaming.
Yep. All right, so our last bit of thing here is something Patrick came up with. So I'll let him explain
it.
Yeah. Start us off.
Basically, with TGA now just behind us, I had this idea that we were originally going to do last week of just fantasizing about what what the biggest announcements would be to us for TGA, E3, Gamescom, whatever. And just not just in terms of what the announcement would be, but in terms of how it would be carried out to make it come across as effectively as possible. And I'm not sure if any of you have come up with yours yet, but if you're ready for mine, I'm ready to go.
Sure, go for it.
So I've
give us some time to think about what we're actually after.
So I've got this one. I have this one set as an E3 announcement because Microsoft is going to be there, and just it plays into a theme in the trailer that I'm going to be going into. And so you just you have Phil Spencer leaving the stage. He's going to show off some B-rolls about upcoming titles. The screen's black for a minute. And you get that Xbox exclusive world premiere. And so you see this camera just panning over an intersection in a street. And you hear the intro of Fozzy's cover of Free Wheel Burning start up. Because you need that hum, that build-up that has been the original. And it's just panning over these cars. And you've just got some legends in there. You got, R34 GTR. You've got Porsche 911, things like that. Just pan over a bunch of them. You see Microsoft Game Studios. Playground Studio. And then right as the song kicks off in earnest, the cars take off, and it looks like it's just going to be another, maybe another Forza or something. But you see the car out in front trying to gain some ground on the pack. And as it drifts around a corner, you see like burning tire marks behind it. And once it comes out of the drift, kudos, 3 stars, drift, just up in the corner. And it stays there. And then you have another car riding up on the curb and getting a little bit sideways. Another pop-up on the screen. Kudos, 2 wheels, 2 stars. You have, a third car joining the race, and it gets a little airborne. Kudos, 3 stars. And it just gets bigger and bigger, more over the top. You have a vapor trail behind the car that catches air. You have all these effects. It's clearly not a simulation by any means. You have, it's very much an arcade game. You have very visible gameplay mechanics going on. So it's not really the hybrid type of thing that we're used to. And you just see these kudos scores piling up on the screen until they're driving through Los Angeles, and eventually all the cars will just converge at the end of the shortened version of the song for the trailer at the LA Convention Center in game.
Mm-hmm.
Project Gotham Racing next, holiday 2019. Mm-hmm. And then if you go outside from the LA Convention Center, because again, I imagine this being at E3, you'll have those same cars there with a huge display hyping the game, and maybe even demo units just showing it off. And so that's how I picture a Project Gotham revival just being announced.
Yeah. Yeah. Hear that, Phil?
That one's free.
Yeah.
I'm totally free. I guess I'll go next.
Okay.
Yeah. For me, I don't have a specific event laid out for this one, so it could probably happen anytime. But I would probably say this is probably more appropriate for BlizzCon. It would probably be a good counter to what Blizzard actually did.
So they're probably going to want to do this before the next BlizzCon, in all honesty.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got the flaming Blizzard logo show up on screen. You got the awesome, epic orchestral score coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts to this just ridiculous battle scene where you've got a druid shape-shifting into a wolf and he bites off the zombie's head. Then he's joined by an assassin who ends up kicking Skeleton's head off.
Mm-hmm.
And it just escalates from there until you see like this flaming Diablo head show up, and then just 4. I would be okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how I would do that.
Simple and effective.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be long. Just gotta have punch.
Okay.
I like it.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Next. Who wants to go next?
If anybody. Okay, I'll try it. This is just something I just came up with. All right. Picture it. It's a cliffside with ocean spray splashing against it. The sky is gray and foreboding. There's ashes that rain from the sky.
So some shit just went down.
Yeah. And let's see, maybe there's some little bit of wind or rain every so often. Not much, just like a little drizzle that comes and goes. You look up and, the sky is gray, but there's like bits of yellow there as well. And you hear this gruff voice coming and says, "For the generation of my fathers, it was the end of the world. But for the generation of my sons, it's just the way it's always been." And then you see like little pieces of like towns that have been built upon the ruins of older towns. You see the wreckage of like pieces of old technology. You see a vast desert that has pieces of what looked once to be a grand castle poking up out of the sands. He says, "And now my children will have to deal with the mistakes of our past and with the events of the one man who led us to this horrid era. And I can only pray that they will be the ones who will be able to rebuild from what we left broken. And you go up, and there's like a balcony on top of a tall tower, and there's a long cape fluttering out in the back. And the camera slowly pans around. The guy looks up, and he grins, and he lets out a high-pitched evil laugh. It's Kefka. And the words come in, Final Fantasy VI, Kefka Days Gaiden.
Okay.
All right.
That did not go where I expected it to, but I would...
Yeah.
Yeah. Count me in.
I'd be in.
I mean, hell, if they can do that to Final Fantasy VII, they sure as hell can do it to Final Fantasy VI, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, do it up. Yeah. All right, so I'll go. Obviously, I mean, you guys have some pretty well thought out ones here, but I'm going to wing it. So
well thought out, hell, I just made that one up on the spot. All right.
Winging it is kind of what we do.
Mm-hmm. So when you go in, you get given these glasses like you might at a 3D movie, and maybe there's some sort of indication to put them on. But that doesn't happen yet. First you see a space station. Mm-hmm. And you see a ship approach it that doesn't sit right about this, and there's clearly an invading force coming on. There's some explosions, you see some people drifting out, and then you see another ship land. You're just hearing a lot of noise and a lot of chaos, and you put on the glasses, and there's Metroids everywhere. And then you hear over the loudspeaker, you hear use of missiles has been authorized. Metroid Other M2. A game nobody asked for. I'm being a little humorous, but what I'd really like to see, more than anything, is Metroid Prime 4 actual gameplay footage sometime soon.
Yeah.
On a side note, I actually did enjoy Other M, but I don't think anyone's looking for Other M 2. Mm-hmm. But you'd hear slowly, you'd hear the announcement of weapons slowly being allowed to be used, added to the list, and you'd make your way through the rest of the trailer. Building excitement and running from explosions. That would be that.
Yeah.
I like it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to another M sequel, to be honest.
You know, as long as it didn't suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first one wasn't terrible. I mean, it's just... the problem with the first one is I think it had a lot of expectation behind it that the team that developed it just couldn't match. Because what they delivered was, for the most part, a pretty fine action adventure. So.
I liked it. I mean, the gameplay was fine. I was just making fun of some of the things that didn't make sense within the game. If you have these resources and you're in a survival situation, you would just use them. And she's a bounty hunter and, not really a soldier. Things like that. But I liked the way that they constructed the game. In the gameplay and everything, so I'd be up for that.
Yeah. And I should also point out about Samus being a bounty hunter. I don't think she has ever actually gotten paid for anything.
Yeah.
That well, not for the stuff that we've seen her do.
Yeah. So, anyways. So I guess if you got one, Chris, close it.
Yeah, I don't think I have any theatrics in mind, really. I think it would just be a trailer that would start with, returning after 10 years. The legendary franchise returns. And you hear the music kick in. Hey, hey, you, I don't want your girlfriend. It's Burnout Paradise 2. Thanks. Finally coming back.
Yeah, I would be okay with that.
Yeah. And probably be next gen. Criterion and Ghost Games will be working together on this. Because Criterion
that would sell a lot of consoles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully within the first year. Yeah. By the probably early 2021, assuming the consoles come out in 2020. I think it would be a game with the way that racing games are kind of in not a great shape at this point. Where like Forza is kind of the only one that's really doing anything. Yeah. Maybe Gran Turismo is like the number two. Need for Speed's in a dumpster right now. Mm-hmm. The crew kind of came and went. Weirdly enough, just got multiplayer a couple weeks ago. Onrush kind of came and went. Mario Kart's the only other one that's really done anything.
Yeah, nobody even knows what happened to Midnight Club.
Yeah, that's in that's in Rockstar hell.
Yeah,
because they just make racing stuff in GTA Online.
Pretty much.
And yeah, like there's not a ton there, but EA wants a new racing game, I assume, for next gen. And it's, I would say, let Need for Speed take a rest.
Yeah.
I guess Payback did not do well either.
No.
But yeah.
All right. Okay, so I guess, yeah, we've gone really long today, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap the show for today. If you're not subscribed to the podcast, you could do so at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, or your favorite podcast aggregator. Also available on Plex, as it turns out. So check that out. You can also check us out at smashpad.com. And as I reminded you earlier, go and check the Defense Grid article. It's really good.
So, we should plug Castlemania, too.
Yeah, definitely. Go to CastlemaniaGames.com for your retro gaming needs. But not just retro games. He's got some really awesome like plush figures and all. It's like, yeah, if you're looking for stuff related to games that will just make you happy, go to CastlemaniaGames.com.
Yes,
yes.
It awesome. Makes you happy.
Thank you.
Yeah. For Patrick Mifflin, Brandon Perkins, Chris Sologi, and Castlemania Ryan, I've been Filippo Minolfo, and we'll see you next week.